Welcome to another episode of Love and Reality Podcast. I am your host, Ricky Valero. On today's episode, we are going to talk about the Love is Blind UK Season 2 reunion, followed by, if you're listening on podcast platforms right now, we have an interview with Javin at the back half of this episode. So after we break down the review or the reunion, we'll have our interview with Javin on the back half of the episode where he talks about his entire thing. We'll talk a little bit about that as we break down this episode. As always, joined by my podcast partner, Ashley. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
I'm doing good. It's crazy. So we're filming the reunion conversation after our conversation with Javin, which honestly, probably my favorite interview I've done in a long time, especially in this reality TV space, and probably the best one we've done together, because I felt like he was... we saw a lot of what we saw out of the reunion out of him in this interview, right?
Yeah, for sure. I said this to him, and you're hearing me say this again. I definitely enjoyed this. This is my favorite of us together interviewing. He gave us a lot of clarity on things, and I definitely have a different outlook on the whole situation.
Yeah, me too. It's interesting to see, and we'll dive a little bit more into that a little bit. But as we went into the reunion, obviously we didn't talk much about the wedding episodes, but obviously what we saw was three of the four couples got married. We had Cal and Sarover get married. We had Billy and Ashley get married. Kieran and Megan get married. And then of course, Barda and Jed split up at the altar with Bardas, the one saying no. I'll be able to talk at some point during this episode. I don't know when it'll be, but we talked about this on the podcast. I really felt like Kieran and Megan were the only two that were going to end up married. And then, interesting enough, three of the four couples got married with Billy and Cal both saying yes. Did that shock you?
Yes. Did it not shock you? I was definitely shocked because I was like, none of these people are going to get married.
Yeah, 100%. I was blown away that I was less surprised by Cal and Sarover because I felt like there was a chance. But Billy and I thought Billy was 1,000% a no. Like, not even remotely
close. Me too.
Especially over the last batch of episodes, all he has talked about is being a no. You know what I mean? So it really shocked me to really see him unpack and be like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to say yes. So it was definitely interesting. And then we transitioned to, holy cow. I don't even know where to begin, Ashley. The first 3 minutes of the reunion, my jaw was proverbial on the floor when they looked at Sarover and said, what is going on with your marriage? She goes, what married life?
And you know, I was sat for that. And I don't know, the way that they set up this reunion, they need to do for the US one. Give us the tea in the beginning and give us the happy ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one big dynamic, you know, Billy. Yeah, Billy, yeah, exactly. Billy should have not gotten married. I agree with that 100%. Cal was never into Sarover. It's interesting to me because I was rooting for Cal in a dynamic because I always had that inkling. We talked about on the show that Cal should have never, his brother gave them doubts over and over and over and over and over again, but yet he still said yes. And she was like, 3 months later, he walked away. She broke down. Everything was basically rainbows and butterflies for a lengthy period of time. And on the 2nd of January, he said, it's over. There's no spark. We're very different people. She's more emotional, affectionate. And then it was over. That was
what
it.
What is up with them and the New Year's?
I don't know.
It's like new year, new me, like new relationship, or I'm ending this relationship. Like, I don't. Listen, justice for Sarover, for sure.
Oh, my God. Yes. Like, I felt so bad with her. And then Cal's explaining nothing went wrong. BS. They just aren't right for each other. What?
Yeah, his explanation was pure BS. And like, I don't know why he did that to her. And honestly, and her mom, I was like, go off, mom. I was like, go off. Get, like, she's like, I'm not done talking. And I don't blame her.
she gave him the business, and it made me actually genuinely excited because, you know, it really broke down in a way that I really enjoyed listening to her just go off, because she's like, did you like it's and it's the, to the point now, it's like, did you even really care?
Exactly. Did you care this whole time? Like that just made no sense. But to be honest, did we really think they would actually, when they got married, I was shocked.
Yeah. And I want to jump ahead a little bit just because we'll skip over Barta and Jed, go back to Barta and Jed in a minute, but Billy and Ashley, that same boat, right? You know, around the same exact time. Like,
didn't they say they had like a conversation? Like they talked to each other, like
they're having a full ass conversation. Like, hey, let's
come. I mean, like Billy and Kale, didn't they have like a conversation? Like, hey, I'm not happy, you're not happy, let's just leave them. Like, what?
Right. I'm just picturing this in my head. It's not real. It could be real, but we don't know. But they had like an iPhone note together, like breaking down the notes of what they were going to text. You know what I mean? Here's what you should say. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And like, they should know better, because girls, two and two, women are going to put two and two together. That's why Ashley and Sorova were able to look at each other's notes and say, hey, he kind of said the same thing to me.
Yeah. I'm disappointed in both Cal and Billy. I liked Billy. I really liked Billy.
You know did. What
I mean? I really liked Billy. I'm not again, as I've said for weeks now, we both said for weeks, I didn't think that they should get married because of the big elephant in the room. And then to find out, which is interesting, knowing in my head, we should have had these conversations, right? About how he would have you know, he would have not been able to like see, he would have been deployed. You know what I mean? So he would have been missing just as much as she would by, you know, with her job. You know what I mean? With, you know, I don't know. Like it just, you know, I know, Ricky, come on. What are you watching? My thing is this is like, I think that Billy isn't a bad person in a sense of he just needs somebody to be, it sounds crazy to say this.
In the same field as him?
Maybe in the same field that marches to the same beat of his drum if he has a certain way he likes to live his life and Ashley didn't fit in that bubble, Ashley deserves the world because she was all in on this man. And you can tell how emotional she was talking about everything. I think she was blinded by the experiment. I really feel like she was, because there was warning signs out the wazoo.
No, for sure. You could definitely tell how hurt she was. And I feel like he just didn't care. Like, even last night, I felt like he didn't care. Like, even when she was talking and she was like, no, I'm happy. Like, I'm going to find love. It just wasn't with him. And he's like, I'm glad. And I'm like, why are you treating her like this?
I agree 100%. You know what I mean? Like, I liked Billy throughout the season, but in the reunion he came off very cold I'll give a little bit of grace to the element of this happened, I think, what, nine months ago, I think it would have been the top of this year, so 9 months ago, so it's like there's an element of like, I'm over this, but now I'm having to actually speak about it in front of the audience and all of these things are coming to fruition in front of the whole world. You signed up for that one, but there's got to be a little bit more empathy. And I don't know, maybe, and that's where I think a big disconnect comes from Billy too, is emotionally, you know, there's a stigma in that militarism of like, I'm a man, you know what I mean? I'm a man, you know what I'm saying? So like, I don't know if there's that emotional level of getting it right. And again, coming from a guy that had been married before, There's a level of, and that's somebody for me, like somebody that had been, I had married, I got a divorce. You know what I mean? When I was young, I understand that element of it, but you want to get it right the second time. Like you didn't, like, I just didn't understand the element of just being okay with that level. And to me, it's like, and I agree with Dwayne said, Billy should have never came out of the pods with Ashley. I agree with that. Like the cabin, I forget what the hell the name is. What is it? What is her job?
You're going to say cabin crew.
Cabin crew. Yeah. His favorite word. You know what I mean? I don't know. I feel like that was a stigma from the beginning, but understanding the element. I don't know how you forget about the military, how he'd be deployed and how he would be gone for so long. So like it was both of them, you know what I mean? Not just her.
Yeah, I think Billy's going to be single for a minute. I think Billy's going to be married to Billy.
Yeah, unless he finds somebody in the military that's for him.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I have a question for you. Jed revealed that in the moment he said he would have been I do. Do you believe him?
No.
I don't either.
No.
I didn't believe him either. I didn't believe him either. Because the way that I looked at him, I didn't think he'd be. The thing about it is first off, Jed, we've talked about this before, is 2025. If a woman wants to take a little bit of control of a dinner, of a situation, or whatever have you, let her do it. It's 2025. You don't have to be the man.
Old
you know
school. What I mean? Yeah.
You know, there's a blend of that. Like, there's moments where you can be that, but there's also time for you to take a step back if she wants to be that. Like, their personalities always clashed. Also, Dwayne said something interesting. Cal's perfect woman is Barta. And I think I agree with that statement, too.
Ooh.
He likes the blondes, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm sure Dwayne, she's seen him on the show. Something. I'm sure she's seen him on the show and was like, hard pass. You know what I mean? But, yeah, and I agree. Dwayne said that she's too dominant. I agree with that to an extent. The problem is it's something that has to be worked on over time. Because when you do for yourself for so long, it's hard to adapt to let other people's do for you as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, the interesting dynamic here is the ring situation. They broke up. They dated for a while. Now, his reasoning for to take off the ring made sense. Because it's like, you can't be caught with a ring. You can't be because of the whole situation. Like, then there are rumors. Then there's, oh my God, he went on Love is Blind. He's married. All of these things. But he asked her to remove the ring because of his ex-girlfriend was there and she would have, I don't know. This whole thing felt like one big lie.
Yeah, it felt like one big lie. And also, like, I wouldn't have wore the ring. That's just me.
Yeah.
Like, we're not together and we're kind of working on things. I'm not going to still wear this ring.
I felt that was weird from her point of view, too. She's like, I was wearing it for him. And I'm like, I don't know how, again, I don't know how I felt about that. I don't really know how I feel about either one of you still. Like,
for sure.
Like, interesting.
But I don't know. I don't trust him. I don't know why, but I don't trust it.
Yeah, I don't either. Let's see here. Obviously, Katisha, Javin, Sophie, Demela. We have this whole interesting dynamic of what happens here. And I just they should have never tried. I don't even know where to begin. Because
wait, who should have never tried?
He was talking about Barta and Barta and Jed. My interesting thing about this was there was lots of clarity in what transpired. There's always a view from 1,000 feet that we see that we don't get the whole breakdown. And I'm taking the element of this, obviously, our conversation with Javin already out of the equation as we're speaking about it. But as you're watching the reunion, you're seeing, first off, a Javin that was ready to come with receipts and conversations. What did you think about that entire man?
This is hard for me to answer because we literally just interviewed him. So it's like, I didn't like the whole situation, but after speaking with him and hearing like his side of things, my perspective has definitely changed.
The photo booth, obviously the clarity of the photo booth was one thing that didn't surprise anybody. You know what I mean? We knew that was coming. It was just like the cutie situation. Again, I've said about it before with Cole. I talked about it in our podcast with Jasmine, where I said, I hope that they show the photo booth. They did. And I will say this, Kieran acted very weird when they announced
very
it.
Weird.
And we talked about this in the interview, but it, like watching it, I was like, wait a minute. He's like, oh, what does it matter? What does it matter now? What does it matter?
No, but it does matter because I feel like that was a big part of everyone saying like, oh, he did X, Y, and Z in the photo booth. Like, it matters.
Yeah. Again, when Ashley puts you in the point, it will put you in a spot. If you find out that your man is over here in the photo booth and the thing was closed, what's the first thing that's going to go to your mind is not a I'm fight. Glad,
yeah.
A fight's not the first thing.
Out. Like what?
Yeah.
It's not, yeah, especially with the curtain closed.
Right.
It makes a huge difference. That's like being in the room with somebody with the door closed and the door open. Like, come on now.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
No, but like, Kiernan really, like, he tried to backtrack so bad. And he's like, oh, no, it matters.
Yeah, it did matter. And to me, Demola spoke up. Good for him. Obviously, you know, he's almost America's sweetheart now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He seems like a good lad. Also, Sophie, I don't really know. Like, Katisha came at Sophie, which, listen, typically I'm for the belief of you go after the man, not the person, right? You know what I mean? Like, he's the one cheating on you or he's the one having this conversation. However, Sophie isn't just a random girl on the street that doesn't know the experiment. She knows the experiment. You know what you're doing. We'll never know what the fight was about, apparently. We found that out. But how did you feel like Katisha eventually apologizes to Sophie as well? But how did you feel
she about that?
Yeah.
I don't know why Katisha apologized to Sophie. Sophie was on some shady. She was being shady. Like, I didn't like that at all. And I agree with what you said. Like, normally go to the man, don't go to the woman. But in this predicament, it's understandable. Like, they spent how many weeks together or whatever days together in the pod, X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, that to me is that one's to me is interesting, to say the least. Not really surprised, obviously, them to Katisha needs help. That's why there's a level of how Javin's personality comes off a certain way. You know what I mean? And I even talked to him about that, right? We talked to him about that and saying, hey, like, it's just who he is as a person. There's, and it was, you know, obviously spliced together. There's elements of that where we find out that their conversation of the giddiness and the laughter and all of what we saw as parts of everything, which obviously just ramps up the drama. But yeah, I'm not, you know, they really don't speak, which we also kind of find out that is not necessarily true. And we'll explore that in our conversation that you'll hear on the back half of this episode. Or if you're watching here on YouTube right now live or at some point, the interview with Javin will go live tonight. You'll be able to watch that, which I highly recommend checking out.
Such a good interview.
Patrick apparently addressed being a father. He is a father, I guess. He did have a baby, which does not necessarily mean he didn't have to go on the show. Maybe he didn't know about, you know, knocking somebody up or whatever, but good for Spleen Boy. Kieran and Megan, the only couple that probably should have got married and are still together.
I love them together. Like, they are too cute. The little video montage they put together was so cute. And I was like, you know, and I love his new look. I told you, as soon as we got on here today, before we went live, I was like, Kenan looks good. He got a good glow up.
Yeah, he got wifed up and glowed up. You know what I mean? It was,
yes.
It was just like Garrett a little bit, but much better looking. For me, I say this over and over again, but I love the UK more than I do the US version. I do think that most of them are there for the right reasons. And even the willingness to get married, to get divorced anyway, is one of the things that I think that they're scared to, because even Billy's, I'm going to say yes in hopes that it works. It didn't work. They got divorced. Getting a divorce sucks, but taking that leap of faith is not easy to do. And I think that shows the levity of wanting to be on the experiment and the authenticity of the experiment, right?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. And yes, the UK has definitely become my favorite. I don't know. They just seem a little bit more vulnerable. You can tell, like, who's there. Like, you can tell they're really there to find love and not just, like, you know, trying to be on a show. And yeah, no, I can't. I heard them say last night there would be a season 3. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, Emma and Matt Willis, that's the couple that
I love them. The
show. Yeah, they're fantastic. I like them a lot as well. But But yeah, that's basically the reunion in a nutshell.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Welcome to the show from Love is Blind Season 2 UK. Javon, how are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
We are excited to have you on the show. There's so many different layers of what we saw from you, and then, of course, the clarity of some of it. That's the most exciting part, I'm sure, for you, A, and B, for us, is to have you on the show. But I want to go back, you know, a little bit. I want to take audiences back a little bit and kind of get to know you. Who are you? What, tell us a little bit about your background and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I was born in London to Jamaican parents. Always played sports, so, you know, football's been my thing, real football. And yeah, so kind of like what I said in the show, yeah, played football, actually ended up moving to the States. So I played 4 years at Georgia State, so you can see there. Ended up graduating, lived in Atlanta for 2 years, lived in New Jersey for 2 years.
Jersey.
Then I moved back to London in 2019. And then in context to the show, I guess, actually, that was kind of, when I was in America, we're kind of skipping ahead, but like when I was in America, it's a bit weird, but in that time, I never really wanted to date seriously because I didn't know that I knew I wasn't going to live there. And I always felt bad, like, oh, like if I get in a serious relationship with a girl, knowing that I want to come back here, I think it's a big ask to ask a lady to uproot and come to London with me. So I was kind of removed myself from like dating when I was in college, which is probably like a crazy thing to do. Then I came back and then I kind of had to rebuild my life when I got back here because, you know, everyone here had moved on and doing what they're doing. I had to kind of start from scratch again. So I kind of took myself out of dating as well because I didn't feel like it was the right thing to do. And then maybe from like 22 onwards is when I was really putting myself back out there, dating again, so on and so forth, which then, you know, a few years later, I end up going on the show. So, yeah.
That's amazing. So what made you want to go on Love is Blind?
I think when I was approached with it, I'll be honest, at first, I kind of didn't take it seriously. So when I was first approached, I was like, I didn't think I would even get on this anyway, you know, like the casting process and whatnot. So as I was doing the interviews and we was going through each stage, I just thought, I'm not going to get through anyway. And the more that they explained the concept to me, because I'll be honest, I had watched Love is Blind the first season that it ever came out. After that, I'd never watched it again. So I wasn't too familiar with even how it worked. And then the more they explained the process to me, the more I was intrigued. You know, I'd been dating for a couple of years up to that point, had a few unsuccessful kind of situations. And I just thought, you know what, like, why not? Let's give it a go. I think if you go into something like this, you might as well give it your all. So I was like, you know what, let me give it a go.
Yeah. So obviously one of the biggest misconceptions early on of the show is, and watching the show, is that you didn't take the process seriously. And I felt like even watching you in the pods, it felt like you were authentic to the process. Yeah.
I would say so. When I see people leave comments like that, I just think it's hard to not take it seriously when you're in it because it's such an intense, it is very intense. I find it hard to even describe how it works to people because it is intense. You have to take it seriously, but also the caveat to that is, well, there's elements that, and I probably sound like a broken record, but there's elements that people just don't see. Like there's so much that happens. Like there's hours and hours in the lounge. There's hours and hours dating. There's no way you can craft a bit of an opinion, but no one's opinion is going to be accurate. And no one's, even the people that went all the way, it's never going to be 100% accurate because of how much you guys get to see versus what really takes place. But of course I took it seriously. I would have just went home if I didn't want to be there. No one was forcing me there. No one put a gun to my head and said, Jav, you got to stay. I could leave if I wanted to leave. So
for sure. Of course, we see your connections kind of play out in the pods with Katisha, but were there some other ladies that you connected with in the pods that you made strong connections with?
Yeah, so So Megan is one of them, which is quite funny. When it got down to it, it was in my the last few days, it was between Megan and Katisha. And essentially what kind of happened was that I was feeling a bit more strongly for Katisha and Megan was feeling a bit more strongly for Kieran. And we had a nice date where we kind of was just like, look, you're going that way, I'm going that way. We could probably just park it here. It was very respectful. It was very friendly. And then there was one other who she wasn't showing, Holly. Me and Holly was also got very close, but then again, things kind of fizzled out as well towards the end.
Yeah, we saw quite an interesting situation play out between, as viewers, between you, Demela, and Katisha.
Yeah.
What was the experience like for you? And even like watching back, how are you feeling about it?
So watching it back, yeah, I didn't actually find it quite difficult to watch, in the sense that it's quite an intense watch for me. Watching all the episodes, I don't know, I found it to be very intense. And I'm someone, I don't really get too emotional or caught up, but I did find it quite intense to watch it. The reality of our relationship, like me and Demela, we was very friendly throughout the whole process. We got like similar backgrounds. We even got like a lot of mutual friends that we didn't know. So we spent quite a lot of time together. Me, Demela, and Jed, like we spent quite a lot of time together. So one of the things I would say, the dynamic that was kind of created within the process was, obviously, we're all dating the same girls, but me and him kind of never directly spoke about Katisha to each other. And I think that was for the better, because in my mind, I was like, I don't want to affect his dates with her. I want him to go in there with a clear mind so that she can make the right choice. And I didn't want him to affect my dates with her either. So we never like sat there and discussed our dates with Katisha or anything like that.
Yeah. So after the process plays out, right, talk to us a little bit about the reveal. What's going through your head of the reveal? Like, because it was almost even like a shocking moment as a viewer, but maybe not as shocking as you when the date plays out, the proposal happens. And then the reveal is obviously one of the more interesting dynamics of the show, because like you're finally getting to see this person that you've been talking to and getting to know. So talk to us a little bit about that reveal.
I don't get access very often, but that day, the day of the reveal, you're like, geez, like you're just praying that I'm going to say what I need to say. You're praying that she looks good. Exactly. You're sitting there, you're like, I hope she looks good. If she doesn't look good, I don't mind. I'll make it work, but you're just hoping she looks good. Obviously, Katisha is a very beautiful woman. She looks good. All the boys, I think everyone felt the same way. Some people just maybe didn't verbalize it, but yeah, that is quite an intense. It's a very surreal moment and it's very short. You don't spend a lot of time together. It's very short. So it was like, okay. Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it, to be honest. I don't know if I'd want to do that again. It was quite intense, but yeah, I enjoyed it.
So, of course, we saw a bunch of drama between you and Katisha unfold, but we want to know about the good. Like, what good came from the relationship that we didn't quite see?
Yeah, so I think that for the viewers, obviously, it seemed to me, when I watch it, it's like very negative, but there was a lot of positive. Like there was a lot of times together where we was talking about her childhood. There was a lot of times we was talking about just kind of her upbringing. And there was like some quite emotional moments about her kind of dealing with her race and kind of being the only mixed race and biracial person in her small town in Scotland and what that was like. And we spoke a lot about the differences between my experience growing up in London, where there's black people everywhere, versus her being in Scotland, where there is no black people. And she doesn't really have that connection with the black side of her family. And that was, for me, that was quite important because, you know, that's stuff that I would talk about with my friends or a girl I'd be dating in London. Like we talk about issues that our communities have. So there was a lot of connections around that. And she's a big family person. She got a big family, as you guys saw when I met her family. She got a lot of siblings. So we're both very close with our families. Like I'm close with my sisters, my brother, my nieces, my nephews. So there was a lot of conversation around those shared values and also work and business. So she, at the time, I'm not sure if she's still doing it now, but at the time she was working on building up she was working on a business as well, and there was a lot of things we was like sharing ideas, and yeah, there was a lot of moments about just like building each other up, which obviously, unfortunately, not everyone got to see. But that's why, you know, so I seen someone say a comment the other day about why does Katisha still talk so highly of me? It's because of what you guys didn't get to see, in the sense that we did share a lot of good moments, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting part of navigating the process, right? Because when you're watching the show, obviously, when I watch the show, obviously, it's not the same as everybody, because you get the comments. I've seen the comments. I've seen some of the comments and stuff like that. But it's like, there is a level of you two being authentic, because you wouldn't have made it to where you did in the experiment had it not been there, right?
Yeah, and I think it's difficult because, and there's no one to blame. They can only show what they can show, right? But it's difficult because I got to the point where I just kind of stopped looking at the comments. That was kind of easy for me to do.
You have to.
Yeah, I think it's not healthy to kind of look at it all the time for me. I'm even saying that to the guys now, like after the reunions come out, like, guys, just don't, because you're going to just turn yourself crazy. So, yeah, it's difficult. And it's funny because I spoke to Katisha this morning. It is difficult to navigate like how people view it versus what really happened. And, you know, it is what it is.
For sure. So obviously the mixer was quite an interesting, you know, situation. But again, it's a condensed version of what we see. Obviously, we understand why they showed the conversation so heavily with you and Sophie. There was definitely a playful dynamic. You never even denied that. You know what I mean? Like, you've been pretty transparent about a lot of the situation. But walk us through those events of that night through your POV.
Yeah. So the mixer. Also, there's two elements, right? There's what happens on camera, then there's the whole going out after, right? So in the mixer, I would say I still stand by, you know, that my personality is jokey. You know, there was a lot of banter. Even with Sophie, there was a lot of like, we was just kind of cracking jokes with each other. And there was also a lot of like stuff that we spoke about that wouldn't be relevant to what you guys say, because it was like behind the scenes stuff. I can't really go into the details of it, but we was talking about stuff that they like wasn't relevant, basically, for me to put it that way. That's the safest way for me to put it. So with that being said, that's why there's like elements of what you see, but like we're laughing and joking, but you don't really see like the meat and bones of what we was really talking about. And you couldn't, like, just, you wouldn't be able to. So was I, like I said, I can definitely see the behavior was disrespectful to Katisha at that particular stage in the experiment of her being my fiance. So I can accept that, and I can hold my hands up to that. And I never denied it. I never said, oh, you know, I didn't do that. I just said, you know, I accepted it. Yep, that was the wrong take. I apologized to her off camera and on camera. So for me at that stage, or at this particular stage, there isn't really much more I could do apart from apologize and say, you know, that behavior wasn't the right thing to be doing at that particular stage. But then if we go to the off-camera stuff, and probably what kind of made the most noise, we go to the bar or this club, and we basically had an extension of the disagreement that we was having. We actually had the disagreement in the mixer, but we just had an extension of that disagreement. And again, I can't get into the details of what was said, but more stuff about behind the scenes stuff, boom boom boom, the whole photo booth stuff, which there was no curtain. I think we're happy to you know, everyone knows I didn't lie about that now, so you can get that out of the way. But yeah, we had that conversation, and yeah, I didn't talk to her for very long, maybe 15-20 minutes, and then yeah, that was it. And that night I spoke to Anu, I spoke to Yolanda, and then I ended up sitting down with Patrick and Demola for the rest of the evening. And it was out, I was maybe out for like 2 hours at best. And that was it. So the parts that you lot see where me and Megan are going at it, a lot of it was, and a lot of people are saying, oh, it's this, why am I harping onto the semantics? Without sounding like a broken record, the reason I'm harping on the semantics is because semantics matter. And that's to me, it matters. I like to use precise language. Some people don't, but I like to use precise language. So
one of the things that I found interesting, because even in talking to you now and even watching you on the show, you do have a very playful personality, right? You have a very, and it could be wrong, you know, you are funny. You have a fun, it can be seen. And guys do, and I'm not saying not all guys, but some guys do suffer from the stigma of being over, I don't even really know the word, just like you're comfortable, you have fun, you like to joke, which can be taken as also very flirty. You know what I mean? As a guy, I understand that dynamic. So that's why I'm saying it to you. But it's like you have that personality, you have a vibrant personality, you have a smile about you, you have this almost confidence about you that kind of probably, not the first time, that's probably ever gotten you in trouble. But you understand what I'm saying with that dynamic right there?
Yeah, and I think, without getting all philosophical here, I think that sometimes people want you to be on, people don't like it when you don't operate on their frequency. So if I was just being upset and glum all the time, sometimes people want to see you like that, but I could never be like that. Like, that's just not me. I walk in a room, everyone's upset, I will be there smiling. Like, I can be optimistic about most things. And I don't let things bog me down because I've already had hardship before. I've been through hardship. I've been through things that, you know, people wouldn't be able to handle. So for me, nothing can be worse than where I've been. So everything's good. Everything's good to some degree. There's always a silver lining, you know?
I love that.
Yeah, no, for sure. So after you come back from the mixer or the bar or whatever, were you in shock coming back to, you went from being engaged to coming back to a letter and a breakup?
So
how did you feel about that?
So you're talking about after me and Katisha had the argument?
Yes.
Okay, so obviously we had the argument and then she had left and there was no contact between like her leaving and then me coming back and seeing the letter, right? So, but again, what you guys don't see is when we had the argument, right, the way it looks is that I just walk off, but I never just walked off. We had the argument, and then before I go, I say to her, look, go and get Megan and Kieran, come back here, and let's all have a discussion face-to-face. That's what I asked. That's what I requested. That's what I asked for. That's what I told her before I left. I was like, go get them. Let's come back, because I don't want to do he say, she say. I'm a very confrontational person. If I have to hash it out with you there and then, let's do it there and then. And that's the best way for me. That's how I felt was the best way to deal with it at the time. Obviously, she didn't do that, and she left. So when I came back and I saw the letter and I didn't see Megan and Kieran and her in the room waiting for me to have an argument, I was like, okay, well, I was disappointed, but I was disappointed in the fact that she didn't hear me out. There was no opportunity for me to even give my side. Apart from that small argument that we had, there was no opportunity to give my side. And, you know, I said it to her that I felt it was a little bit weak. I did say that to her, that I felt it was weak, that you kind of took her word over mine, which is fine. But, you know, you spent more time with me, so why not give me an opportunity to at least kind of, you know, say what I need to say.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about processing that, right? Because this whole experiment is interesting. And I've always felt like, yeah, I do believe in the experiment. I do believe that you can fall in love faster because those conversations are escalated on a higher level. But talk to us about how maybe you dealt with kind of the aftermath, because you did have feelings, you did care, you did have all of those things.
Yeah, I was disappointed. I was disappointed, and I think that, you know, some people may say, okay, why didn't you, when you knew she had left, why didn't you try and chase her to come back? But I think at that point, I'd already felt like there was already other things that had played a part as well, like the communication around her and Demela, and I'd already felt like, okay, there's a few behaviors here that probably don't align with me. And so for me I didn't really feel like I wanted to chase it anymore anyway. So it was like, if you're not going to give me the chance to say what I want to say, I kind of just sat with that in terms of my feelings. And, you know, I was disappointed. That's the best way for me to describe it. I was disappointed, and I just felt like we didn't really get a chance to explore how far we could have really taken it, you know, because there was still more time in the process for us to, because, you know, you didn't see us, we didn't get to do the part like the suit fitting and her doing the dress fitting and all that stuff. And I felt like even if it wasn't a solid yes on either side, there was still more time in the experiment to develop to that. Like, I wanted to go as far as we could and be honest with each other along the way, and we didn't really get the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, because we even saw that with like, we even saw that with like Billy, right? You know what I mean? Like Billy felt like a hard no at many different levels of the show and then became a yes. Whether it works out, it doesn't matter. But that experiment could have, or the experience could have been a little bit different had you had those two or three extra weeks to really hone into that, right?
Exactly. And that's a good example. That's a perfect example. Whether it worked out or not, obviously that's a different story, but that's exactly. And some people will look at that and say, oh, well, you only wanted to go further. It wasn't about her. But no, but it was about her, because I was doing the experience with her. And it was because of her why I was there. And it was because of her why I wanted to continue. So it's about her. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I was like, I hope when the new episodes come out, I'm like, I hope they have like a conversation again. But I mean, I totally get it. So let's talk about the reunion. It felt different in many ways, but what happened and how do you feel it was, you know, it was shown?
Do you want to talk about me personally or the other guys?
No, you personally. It was a lot. I know. It, honestly, the reunion was really good.
Yeah, I that was probably the only episode I enjoyed watching. I enjoyed the reunion, actually. I think that on the day, a lot of people were nervous. They were worried. I didn't really feel too worried. I kind of just felt like, you know, this is our chance to kind of say what we really want to say. And I think that being up there, it was difficult for, I felt like it was difficult for Katisha to like really express herself. I don't know. I think obviously it's nerve-wracking. There is a live crowd there as well. So maybe I felt like she maybe found it a little bit difficult to say everything she really wanted to say. For me personally, I felt like I was able to get my points across. Yeah, I enjoyed it overall. It's the one episode where I'm not getting hate. So.
Yeah, to me, one of the interesting elements of it all, right, is the photo booth situation. Were you aware that they were going to show the curtain beforehand? And when they did show it, it felt like I felt you're gonna like run a lap. I thought you were gonna turn like Tom Cruise and start jumping on the couch or something. You know what I mean? Like, because it was like a bill, you know, it kind of vilified it. It really opened the door to be like, hey, this man was telling the truth.
Yeah. So I wasn't aware that they were gonna do like the whole, like the way that Matt and Emma set it up. And then I wasn't aware of that, but I had a feeling inside that the photo booth would be shown. I did feel that. I do think Kieran knew, because if you notice right before they say it, he starts backtracking. He starts backtracking instantly. And he's like, no, just, and when he started doing that, I was like, I wonder why.
Does it really matter?
Yeah. they started backtracking instantly, and that's when I was like, oh yeah, they're gonna. I knew, I kind of felt it. So yeah, I didn't know about it, but hey. And the reason I didn't react too gleefully is because, you know, there is a valid point that essentially the curtain doesn't matter, in a sense of, you know, I still went in there, I still shouldn't have went out, blah blah blah. But I'd already apologized for that earlier within that segment. So there's nothing more I can do on that side. But on the flip side, the reason it does matter is because if you rewatch the clip, which I rewatched it this morning, they were very adamant that there was a curtain. Kieran's exact words is, I saw you go in the curtain and pull the curtain. Saw you go in the photo booth and pull. Those were his words. He said he saw me pull it. So I don't know what he was drinking or smoking that night, because I don't know what he saw. But he must have saw something I didn't see. So the reason it matters is because if you could lie about that, what other element of your story was embellished, or what other element of your story, you know, you might have added a bit extra sauce on that story to make it sound a certain way. And yeah, so that's why it matters.
I mean, from a guy's point of view and a girl's point of view, a closed curtain means a lot, because you never know what happens behind the closed curtain. You can sit here and say you can sit here and say we fought the entire time, but a closed curtain can mean so many different things. And you put that in somebody's head, as a guy, as a girl, it doesn't matter. You automatically think the worst, especially in an escalated process where we're getting married in 2.5-3 weeks or whatever it was.
And the emotions are high as well. It does matter. I think and that's why I said the only thing I was disappointed about is the way that the message was conveyed. I had no issue with Megan going to Katisha. I literally, I didn't care. like that's your friend. You can do whatever you want. But it was the way the message was conveyed. If she went to Katisha and said, look, I saw Jav talking to Sophie. I saw Jav talking to Anu and Yolanda. I think you need to talk to him. I didn't like his behavior. I would be like, I can accept that, because then she's going to confront me probably less in an emotional way and more like, Jav, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Then I can sit down and explain, oh, it wasn't anything serious, blah, blah, blah. But the way that it was conveyed, there was so much that was insinuated by the way the message was conveyed that I never got that opportunity.
Wow. That's like, I feel I saw your post after, I guess, the reunion aired or whatever about the curtain, and I was cracking up, and I was like that. I was like, that's hilarious. But like I'm going to go read the comments, and I'm like, of course, they're going to find some, like, you were trying to be funny about it, and they were like, you know, taking it serious. But besides the curtain situation, what else shocked you in the reunion? Like, mainly the breakups.
Yeah. Kyle and Sarova, man. That
I that know. One,
yeah, that obviously I had known that they didn't. I think I had known maybe like a month before the reunion came out, I'd known that they had a breaking down, but I didn't know the details of it. I never asked Kyle the details of it. I didn't think it was my place to ask. And I was surprised. I did think that, you know, they were both taking a gamble, and I think the whole process is a gamble in itself, but the way that Sarova explained it surprised me, and you probably might have seen some of my facial expressions. I got a lot of messages. I was surprised, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it was crazy because obviously you were there. Obviously, it films over a long time. They condensed it into a small thing, but like to open it like within the first like 2 minutes of watching the reunion, I'm like, oh my God, like this is like a bombshell. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was shocking.
That's what kept everybody there. Like, I've never seen like a reunion open up to that. Usually it like escalates to like, you know, and I was in shock too. I can't even lie.
Yeah, they did a good job the stories they put first.
Amazing job.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Talk to me about a scene that maybe you wish would have been showed that wasn't, right? You know what I mean? It could be a positive scene. It could be whatever scene. What is there a specific scene? You don't have to go on grand details or anything like that. Talk to me about a scene you wish would have been showed.
I got two, actually. I think it's episode 6. Where all the other couples, you see them on their special date. There's a date with like Jed and Bada on the buggy, and Kyle and Sarova are doing the mud massage. So like when you're away, everyone gets a special date. So me and Katisha had a special date. Unfortunately, you guys didn't get to see it, but we did have a special date that was on the beach. And that was really, it's a really beautiful moment. I was sweating like hell, but it was like a really beautiful moment. You know, she was wiping the sweat off my head. Like, it was really nice. And then there was another moment that was quite, it was positive, but it was just showing the depth in which we was going in terms of our relationship and our friendship as well. When we went to Scotland, and there was a moment where we was in Dumfries, and we was laying on like a riverbank, and we was talking about the racial things I was talking about previously about her growing up, and I was explaining to her like I find it difficult to relate because I don't even understand what that feels like. I can't tell you what it feels like to be like the only black person in the room at school or something like that, because in London it's not like that. And then I also kind of told her, we were speaking about the wedding, and I admitted to her that I felt conflicted at this moment. I was like, because I like you, but I'm not sure we're at the stage where we could say I do because of our communication. And I expressed that to her, but we both got through it. But it was a harsh moment, but it was like a beautiful moment, because I felt like we got closer from that moment.
So yeah, for sure. Like I there's always moments in the show that we didn't see, and seeing that probably would have had us like, damn, like they really do, you know, like each other, they're really into each other. But who are you still close with on the show?
So on the guy side, Demola, Jed, Tom, who you guys see him a little bit, he has that little segment with Patrick where he talks about if you pee on a tree, you're connected to the tree for life. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah.
How could I forget?
Yeah.
Did I say Patrick? Patrick. Mr. Spleen. Charlie. They don't really, you see Charlie a little bit as well in the first few episodes. And and Ross as well. Ross M, which again, you guys won't see too much of him. So on the guy side, me, Billy and Kyle, we're pretty cool as well. We're pretty close. We train every day together, as in like we was in the gym together every morning when we're filming. So yeah, because they're both gym guys. I was a gym guy, so we's in the gym together every day. So quite a few, about 6 or 7 of the boys. And then on the girl side, Anu, me and Anu, we're quite friendly. Talk a lot about like work and stuff and business, and that's about it on the girl side, to be honest.
Okay, that makes, I mean, I could, I love Anu, I love her, like I hope to see her on like another show or something. She seems like a good time.
Yeah, Anu's really cool.
My next question is, are you in a relationship right now?
No, right now I'm single. I think since this, when I, after I came out the show, I tried to date pretty quickly. Not pretty quickly, maybe like, okay, let me say like 2-3 months after. But I just found it quite difficult. Personally, I just felt like I had this thing hanging over me and I just felt like, let me just give it more time. So I kind of just stayed clear for the past year.
Yeah, final question to you is, could we see you potentially on any other reality TV shows in the future?
I don't know if I'd want to do another dating show, you know. I don't know. I it's not a hard no. If it's the right opportunity, then I would do it. But I would sit down and really consider it.